We read from the book of Joshua. Two of my favorite Bible characters are Nehemiah and Joshua. I like people that get stuff done. I like people that Nehemiah built the wall, Joshua tore it down. Now, you know, when you're building something, you got to get all their permits and stuff like that. But and so, you know, you got to follow the rules. When you're tearing down something, you got to be careful you're tearing down the right thing. I read about a pastor a couple weeks ago. They were getting ready to expand their building, and they were tearing down some buildings on some property they owned, and they inadvertently tore down a building that did not belong to them. They were facing all sorts of, trouble, because they were sort of over the barrel. I mean, not something that, you know, you can easily apologize for, tearing down somebody else's building. But Joshua didn't have that problem. The thing that he tore down, God wanted him to tear down. And both of these men were successful. Nehemiah got a building project done in a very short time. Joshua got his demolition project done in a very short time. I mean, if you don't count all the times they spent marching around the wall, just the final shout, it happened instantaneously. But we read one verse, and again, this is our text verse this morning, verse 27 of Joshua chapter 6. So the Lord was with Joshua, and his fame was noised throughout all the country. Now, if there's two, and this is sort of a New Year's message, if there's two things that every one of us ought to desire for 2017, it ought to be, number one, that the Lord is with us. And that number two, that as we work for him, as he works through us, people will know that he's behind it. People will know that as we do what we do, it's really the Lord working through us. And so when that verse says, his fame was noised throughout all the country, the fame not only of Joshua, but the fame of Joshua's God. And so I've entitled my sermon this morning, How to Be Famous in 2017. And when I say that, I want both for you. I want this year to be a year that when we get to 365 days from now, you can look back and say, the Lord was with me in 2017, and his glory was shed throughout the land because of how I allowed him to use me and how I allowed him to work through me. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 16, Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said this, Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. That's what Joshua did. He let his light shine. He let his works shine so that others could see God working through him. In Joshua chapter 24, verse 31, the Bible says, And Israel served the Lord all the days of Joshua and the days of the elders that overlived or outlived Joshua, and which had known all the works of the Lord that he had done for Israel. Notice what that verse says. All the works of the Lord Joshua was known for that he'd done throughout the land of Israel. Now, so I want to look at Joshua's life. I want to spend just a couple quick minutes reviewing some major things that happened in his life. And then I want to look at three characteristics that were true of his life throughout his whole life that enabled God to be with him and enabled God to use him so that God was glorified throughout the land. So let me just review some things about Joshua's life. One of the things that we need to remember, and you know this, is that Joshua was a good follower. He was Moses' gopher. He was Moses' assistant. He was Moses' helper, however you want to say it. When Moses needed something done, he said, Joshua, go do this. When Moses needed something gotten, he said, Joshua, go get this. Good leaders are made from good followers. Elisha served Elijah and then took over for Elijah. Joshua served Moses, and then God had him take over for Moses. So he was a good follower. So another thing we know about him, he was one of the 12 spies that went into the land of Canaan. When Moses and the people of Israel got there the first time, they elected a committee of 12 to go into the land and spy it out. And these 12 men went into the land and they spent 40 days looking at the land of Canaan, that place that God had prepared for his people. They came back, they all 12 gave a glowing report. Oh, they said this is a rich land. It's a fertile land. It's a land that flows with milk and honey. They brought back some of the produce. They carried back some grapes that they got at a place called Eskil. And they carried it in the pictures that we see. They carried it on a staff between them. The grapes were so heavy. And so all 12 of them came back. Joshua was one of those 12 spies. All 12 of them came back and said, oh, what a wonderful land that God has prepared for us. By the way, just remind you, God doesn't do anything halfway. If God's going to do something, he's going to do it first class. The land of Canaan was a first class land. By the way, the land of heaven is going to be a first class land. God doesn't do anything halfway. And so the 12 spies went. And they said, they all came back and said, oh, what a wonderful, rich land. 10 of them said, but there's no way we can take it. There's giants that live there. The cities are walled. The walls are big. They got armies. There's just no way that we can take this land. Two of the spies, Joshua and his partner Caleb, came back and said, hey, it doesn't matter how big the giants are. It doesn't matter how big the cities are. It doesn't matter how big their armies are. If God wants us to have it, it's ours. Amen. Let's go in. Let's take it. Let's fight. God made this promise to us that we can have this land, and we should not be afraid of the obstacles. If God be with us, who can be against us? So he was one of two spies that defied the other 10, that even defied the people after they decided not to go in and said, no, this is wrong. We need to go in and take the land. And then Joshua, we know, was the one that after Moses passed off the scene because of his disobedience to God, God chose to lead his people into the promised land, into the land of Canaan. That's what the book of Joshua is all about. It's about going into the land and taking the land and passing out the land to the nation of Israel. And so he's the man that God chose to lead his people into the land that he had prepared for them. He not only led the people into that land, he led his family. One of the most well-known verses of Joshua is found in chapter 24, verse 15, where the Bible says, and if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will serve. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. He not only was a good leader of God's people, he was a good leader of his family. And so, some of the things we know about Joshua. You put them all together, there are three things that I want to point out to you this morning that marked or characterized Joshua's life that allowed God to be with him and allowed God to use him so that his fame was noised throughout the land. And again, that ought to be the desire of every one of us in 2017. Our desire ought to be, I want God to be with me. And I say, I know some of you say, well, preacher, the Lord's with me because I have the Holy Spirit. I'm a Christian. He's with me all the time. I know that. But I'm talking about things that we need to do so that the Holy Spirit can have free reign in our life and so that we can say there's been nothing between me and the Holy Spirit. These things that Joshua did allowed the Holy Spirit to reign and rule in his life so that he could feel the presence of God and also allow God to work through him. So these three things. Number one was Joshua's obedience. His obedience. If we want the Holy Spirit to have free reign in our life, if we want to be used of God and so that people can see God working through us, we need to learn to be obedient to God. Joshua obeyed God's instructions. When God said, cross the Jordan River, he crossed the Jordan River. Remember, it was a miraculous crossing. I mean, it was really his first big test of leadership, so to speak. And God did the same thing for Joshua that he did for Moses. They crossed the Jordan River. God said, take Jericho. Joshua said, okay. Didn't matter that the battle plan didn't make any sense from a human standpoint. March around the walls one time for 6 days, seven times on day seven, shout, blow the trumpets, and the walls will fall. That's how God said to do it. Joshua didn't question the orders of God. He was just obedient to the orders of God. God said to Joshua, deal with the defeat at Ai. There's sin in the camp. You need to root that sin out. Then you need to get over it and move on. Joshua was obedient to God's instructions for dealing with the defeat at Ai. God said, Joshua, I want you to pass out the land. I want you to parcel it out to the different tribes. And Joshua was obedient to the Lord's command. He was an obedient person. That's one of the characteristics in his life that allowed the Holy Spirit to have control of his body. One of the characteristics in his life that God was able to use him the way that he did is that Joshua was obedient. It says in Numbers chapter 32, verse 12, save Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, and Joshua, the son of Nun, for they have wholly followed the Lord. They have wholly followed the Lord. They have completely followed the Lord. They have completely been obedient to the Lord. In spite of the opposition, I mean, there was 10 other guys. Said, oh no, we can't take the land. The people are too big. The people are too powerful. And Joshua and Caleb said, no, let's just obey God. It doesn't matter what the obstacles are. It doesn't matter how big the opposition is. Let's just obey God. If we want God to be with us, if we want God to use us, we need to be obedient. When God says, read and study and memorize his book, we just need to be obedient. When God says, forsake not the assembling of yourself together, as a manner of some is, we need to be obedient. When God says, pray without ceasing, we need to be obedient. When God says, give, we ought to give. When God says, go into the world, preach the gospel to every creature, we need to be obedient. When God says, be ye kind one to another, we need to be obedient. When God says, walk honestly before all men, we ought to be obedient. We sang that little song sometimes in Sunday school. Obedience is the very best way to show that you believe. Doing exactly what the Lord commands. Doing it happily. Action is the key. Do it immediately. Joy you will receive. Obedience is the very best way to show that you believe. And it's true. We need to learn to be obedient. We sing the song, trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Look, we expect our children to obey. God expects his children to obey. And if we want to have God with us this year, if we want God to use us this year, then we need to be obedient. Joshua was. Second thing I point out to you was his courage. His courage. When he first took over the leadership of the children of Israel, people told him, Moses told him, God told him. In Joshua 1:6, be strong and of good courage. Verse 7, only be thou strong and very courageous. Verse 9, have not I commanded thee, be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest. The courage that Joshua had was not a foolhardy courage. It was a courage that was not dependent on his strength or his intelligence or anything about him. The courage that Joshua had was a courage that came from knowing that whatever he did, wherever he went, God was with him. God was with him. You want to know how to have courage in today's time, in this time when it seems like the world is falling apart, in this time when it seems like that they're coming after us as Christians? You want to know how to have courage? Remember that God's with you. Amen. God's with us. He said, I'll never leave you or forsake you. That's why Joshua could tell his people, Joshua 10, verse 25, fear not, nor be dismayed. Be strong and of good courage, for thus shall the Lord do to all your enemies against whom ye fight. We need to remember, we need to remind each other, we need to keep it ever in our mind that we have a God who will never leave us, we have a God who will never forsake us, we have a God that goes with us into every situation, and we can be courageous, again, not because of our might, not because of our intelligence, but because God is with us. Maybe the cities are walled. Maybe the people are giants. Maybe we do look like grasshoppers in their sight. Maybe we are afraid. There's nothing wrong with being afraid. But being afraid and letting it keep you from doing what you're supposed to do is a sin. Being afraid and doing it anyway, because God's with you, is believing God. So he was obedient. He was courageous. And then number three, he had faith. He was a man of faith. He believed what God said, and then he acted on it. That's what faith is. It's believing what God says and then acting on it. And Joshua was a man of faith. He had what I would describe an unlimited faith. He believed that God could do anything. He believed that there was nothing too hard for God. He believed that God could do the impossible. One time he was fighting a fight, Joshua chapter 10. He was fighting against Gibeon. And the Israelites were winning a great victory, but it started to get dark. And Joshua said, "We need more time. We're winning this battle and we can beat them completely if we just had more daylight." And Joshua's faith in his God, here's what Joshua did. He said, "Sun, stand still. Sun, stand still." Now, he knew that he did not have the power in his own self to make the sun stand still, but he knew a God that had the power to do it. And did you ever stop and think what God had to do to make the sun stand still? You see, the sun doesn't move. The earth turns. And it looks to us, from our perspective, that the sun is moving. But the sun, I know it moves a little bit, but that's not what makes day and night. It's the earth turning in circle. Did you ever stop to think what God had to do to make the sun stand still? He had to grab a hold of this great big earth and stop it. Stop it. Now, people that know all about this stuff will tell you, if the earth wasn't rotating the way it was, we'd all fly into space because there'd be no gravity. So God not only had to stop the earth, he had to put anti-gravity boots on every person that was on it. Otherwise, they'd go flying into space. But Joshua didn't think about all the details of what God had to do to fulfill his request. He just said, "Sun, stand still." And his unlimited faith in an almighty, omnipotent God was rewarded. The Bible says, "And there was no day like that before it or after it that the Lord hearkened unto the voice of a man." Amen. He made the sun stand still. He was a man of unlimited faith. When God said to do something, he just believed God. He took God at his word and he just did it. Think again about the Battle of Jericho. Hey, here's this first big city in the land of Canaan. I'm going to give it to you. Here's what you got to do. Just march around it. You don't have to get out the battering rams. You don't have to get out the catapults. You don't even have to fight. Just march around it. One time for 6 days, seven times on the seventh day. And at the end of the seventh day, you have everybody shout and blow the trumpets. I think they blew the trumpets every day. But that seventh day, after the seventh time, you have the people shout and the walls will come falling down. Joshua didn't doubt God. He said, "Yes, sir. That's the battle plan? Yes, sir." And he set the people to do it. He had an unlimited faith. He also had an undisturbed faith. A faith that even in the defeat at Ai, when they didn't lose a man at Battle of Jericho, not one soldier, Israeli soldier, was killed at Jericho. 32 men lost their life in the Battle of Ai. It would have been easy for Joshua's faith to become disturbed. But God came to him and said, "Joshua, don't let your faith waver. There's sin in the camp. You need to get rid of it." Again, Joshua believed God. He sought out the sinner. He destroyed what was stolen. And God said, "Okay, now go back to Ai. I'll give you victory there." And I know I mentioned faith last, but I'll tell you, faith is the key. Faith is the key. Believing God. If you believe God, you can obey. You can obey if you believe God. And if you have faith, if you believe God, you can find courage. In fact, faith is the key. If you want God to be with you in 2017, you can't do it without faith. Because, see, the Bible says, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourself, it's a gift of God. If you want God to be with you in 2017, you've got to get your sins paid for. Bible says we're all sinners. There's none righteous, no, not one. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We can find other people that are worse sinners than we are, but God says, don't compare yourselves to them. You compare yourself to the glory of God. You compare yourself to Jesus Christ. And when we compare ourselves to Jesus Christ, we find out how short we fall of God's standard. And so, we're sinners. There's a penalty for that sin. The penalty for sin is death, not physical death, but spiritual death, being separated from God. How is God going to be with you in 2017 if you are separated from Him because of your sin? It's not going to happen. If you're here this morning still in your sin, still with your sin unpaid for, you are separated from God, and God can't be with you. But He gave us a solution. He gave us an answer to that problem. And that answer, we pictured it this morning in the Lord's Supper. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. When Jesus went to Calvary, hung on the cross, the Bible says that God placed on His Son every one of our sins. All of them. Say, preacher, I wasn't a sinner back then. I wasn't even here when Jesus hung on the cross. Either was I. Dick was. He was pretty old, but just teasing. But God knew we were going to exist. He knew we were going to sin. He didn't know in general. He knew specifically how we would sin, and He hung those sins on His Son as Jesus was on the cross. And as Jesus was on the cross, He paid for every sin. Faith says, I believe that. But faith also says, I act on it. I act on it by asking Jesus to be my Savior. For with the heart, man believeth unto righteousness. With the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I cannot think of a better way to start a new year than coming to Jesus Christ and receiving Him as your Savior. And so if you're here this morning and you've never received Christ, I invite you to come to the one who paid for your sins, the one who died for your sins, the one that makes a way to heaven and makes a way to God for you. Would you do that this morning? Let's pray together. Father, thank You for Your word. Thank You for this example that we have in Joshua. I pray, Father, for the many Christians that are here, I pray that our desire this morning would to have You be with us and to use us so that Your glory can be shed throughout the land in 2017. So help us to be obedient. Help us to have courage. And Father, we know that that comes from our faith in You. And then Father, I pray for those that might be here this morning that don't know Christ as their Savior. Father, help them see that sin is sin. And there's a penalty that they're going to have to pay, that they are paying right now, but that Jesus paid what they owed. And if they, in simple, childlike faith, would come, believing that He died for their sins and asking Him to be their Savior, He'll save them. He'll save them. He'll dress them in the righteousness of Christ. He'll write their name in the Lamb's Book of Life. He'll prepare them a home in heaven. And I pray, Father, that anybody that's here that doesn't know for sure, they're saved, their sins have been forgiven, they're on their way to heaven, would come in the next few moments and let us take the Bible, show them from the Bible how to ask Jesus to be their Savior. Just bless this time of invitation. We give it to You, Lord. It's Yours. Use it as You see fit. For it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.